is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
It's us. It's Cliffo and Bronte podcasting.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Whew. Ticked all the boxes on the show this morning.
Let's all just take a deep breath. I feel like I need that after the show. In through our nose, out through your mouth. How do we feel?
I want to do that again. Can we just keep...
Okay, in through the nose, out through your mouth. Let's just leave the day behind. Don't breathe like that.
Okay,
you've ruined
sorry.
It.
Okay. Can you beat Bronte Champions League? It's coming up on the pod. Can he make it 3 wins in a row for Tom? So far leading when it comes to finding the Champions champion.
Yeah, and I'm a bit nervous about it because he's beaten me before, not even with benefit of the doubt. Yeah,
he's won on his own right.
Yep.
That for WTF Wednesday, we meet a real life witch.
Which old witch?
The wicked, yeah. No. Ding dong. She ain't dead. She's on our show. Plus, we put it out there. What did you used to hide as a kid?
My mother throwing me under the bus with this one. Know it involves a mashed potato and a very old piece of technology.
A mashed potato?
Several
like a plural
hundreds
there?
Of mashed potato.
It's coming up. And a full budget breakdown as well. Yes. So we're ticking all the boxes, guys.
That's what we said.
Cliffo and Bronte podcasting on Listener. Just want to take this opportunity to say a massive congratulations to Hollywood royalty, Robert De Niro.
Oh, and listener of the show.
Morning, Robert.
Yeah, he's an avid listener.
He's not. He can't hear anymore, I don't think. Robert De Niro has welcomed his 7th child into the world.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 79.
Yeah, a
overnight.
Child for every decade he's been alive. He has welcomed a 7th baby, his first with a martial arts instructor, Tiffany Chen. And so his baby is newborn and his eldest child is Drina, who's 51. So
imagine that, your big sister being 51 years older than you.
Crazy. He's got a 51-year-old, a 46-year-old, 2 twin 27-year-olds, a 25-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a newborn.
And congrats on signing for his new movie, Meet the Great, 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 Great Grandparents.
It's his autobiography.
Be a real box office hit, that one.
This is WTF Wednesday.
Confirming it is Wednesday today.
It is today.
Yes.
And the main meal for WTF Wednesday I will serve.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock. We're going to speak to a real life witch. But I like to give you a teaser.
An entree. Peaks our appetite.
A WTF entree. And today your WTF entree is the unbelievable story of the biggest flop ever in the history of theatre worldwide. I'm going to give you a WTF teaser on Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, the Spider-Man musical.
Wow. This takes me back to, like, getting up-to-date, getting follow-ons every single day about this musical in, like...
Oh, yeah.
The late 2000s?
Yeah, early-ish 2000s okay. Into the 2010s.
All right.
So, yeah, the year was... I think it was about 2002, 2003 that the guys at Marvel... that make the movies and stuff, the Avengers, all that stuff, they were sitting back seeing Disney make all this money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're merged now, but they weren't back then. And Marvel was seeing Disney with The Lion King.
Right.
And Aladdin the musical and, like, what's Beauty and the Beast. Like, Disney's making all this money on Broadway. And Marvel was like, I want a piece of the pie. So they say, we're going to take our biggest franchise, which was Spider-Man, and we're going to turn it into a musical.
Naturally.
With the music and lyrics written by Bono and The Edge from U2. Here's one of the main songs that U2 wrote for the show. It's deplorable. I should say, that's the Green Goblin singing there.
Of course. Not very Broadway-esque.
Awful. Before the show even started, the producer died suddenly and the director walked.
Oh, not a good start.
This is before the previews even started. So the two main people gone. One of them died from the stress and the other one just walked and ended up suing, and it was a whole thing. Creative differences, you know.
Of course.
But then it took a really sinister turn. Before the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark musical even premiered, they were doing previews, and a stuntman named Kevin Orban nearly died when he fell from the top of the stage, like the very top of the theatre, into the orchestra pit down the bottom.
So they were trying to do all the Spider-Man-y stunts that we'd seen in the movies that you can edit and, you know, use CGI. And they were trying to do those in real life on a Broadway stage.
The thing was, the technology didn't even exist to do that live. So they had to invent it. So it was very, very expensive. And the scene where this Kevin guy nearly died, he was supposed to, I think it was on top of the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, and he's supposed to jump to save MJ.
Mm.
And then the scene cuts to black. And then he just dangles there in thin air. So all you see as an audience member is him dive.
Right, right.
Cut to black. You think he's flying like Spider-Man. Does whatever. But he's taken the dive. The rigging wasn't actually connected to him to catch him, and he's fallen all the way to the bottom of the orchestra pit. Destroyed all of his organs on the inside, pretty much.
Landed on a clarinet, probably. That's painful.
He said of all the injuries, the worst was the two broken wrists. He couldn't feed himself, bathe himself, or go to the bathroom by himself for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
But the ultimate failure of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was money. So the show cost $75 million to put on. To put that into perspective, the most expensive show up to that point was Shrek, the musical, which was like $17
million. Oh, my God.
Like, musicals are nothing like movies or whatever when it comes to the cost. So $75 million was astronomical.
Mm.
The musical only made $15 million in about a 3 or 4 year run on Broadway, which is pretty short for Broadway standards, which resulted in a loss of about $50 million to producers.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, if they just kept carking it like the other ones, hopefully they wouldn't have to get the money
none
back.
None of them are around anymore, suspiciously. If you ever listen to this show, you'd know we're not the most well-spoken people in the state. We have a crack.
We really give it a go, but nothing is planned. So
no.
Whatever comes out of our mouth is what is just happening. See, clearly.
That there, case in point, Bronte's highlighted it. We're not the most well-spoken, so it might be throwing stones living in a glass house here, but whatever.
Mm.
I got an email this week that just gave me the grammar ick.
Okay.
The grammar Nazi in me went, no, that's not how it works.
Not okay.
It's from a bloke, and I'm not going to go into the details of the email. I'm just going to read you the first line. He says, hey, Cliffo, I hope you guys are having a great week. He's referring to me, you and Leash.
That's nice.
Hey, Cliffo. Look, it's nice. It's a nice sentiment. But the writing out of the word use.
Use.
Hope use guys
are
having a great week. So Y-O-U-S-E.
Yep.
Like I say, not the most well-spoken guy, not the biggest grammar Nazi in the world, but that made me sick.
It gives you the ick, like, when you hear people say it and then seeing it written down.
Seeing it written down is so much worse than hearing it. So much worse.
That definitely would have had the red squiggly line underneath it to be like, this is not a word.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I've actually copied and pasted it and made it bigger so I could read it out or whatever, and I've pasted it into a new document, and it is, like, highlighted as a spelt wrong word. But I thought everyone, in their own way, no matter how much you have a grasp of the English language, we're all grammar Nazis when it comes to one or two. Like, we all have an ick when it comes to being, you know, when it comes to the world of grammar.
Mine is when people put a K on the end of a word that should have a G. So if they say something or anything or I don't understand that.
I don't know why, but I'm typing that down. I want a record of these.
Please don't use that against me at any time.
So we've got use.
Use.
We've got something. Producer Alicia, do you have one? Like, prove us right that everyone has one.
Definitely. When people say they went to the shop and they brought something instead of they bought, like, it's like somebody's just insulted my mother. I get so offended.
Oh, my God. Bringing mothers into it. Yeah, I get that.
So if use guys went to the shop and brought something.
I would be walking away from the conversation.
13, 10, 60 grammar Nazis, like way in here. And like I say, you haven't got to be hardcore. Like you would be an English teacher.
No.
Like, the three of us certainly aren't. We've all got our icks.
Clearly.
Grammar Nazis, 13, 10, 60 What annoys you?
What's something that people say? They don't mean to be saying it, but it just annoys you.
Maybe it annoys you when they say it.
Yeah.
Maybe it annoys you doubly.
You know what
when
I also
they type
don't like?
It?
Is when they say, I could care less.
Oh.
That means you could care less. I couldn't is the thing.
My mind explodes there because I don't think, do you care less? Do you care or don't you care?
I just don't get it.
13, 10, 60, grammar Nazis, just what grinds your gears? Simon the grammar Nazi, join in with us. What gives you the ick?
Or Simone?
Or Simone is
Simone,
it?
Yes, sorry, Simone.
I just did a little lick there, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
That'll annoy you, Simone. My bad. What's your one?
Mine is when people say the days of the week and they say Monday, Tuesday, Thursday instead of Monday.
I get that.
So what day is today, Simone?
Today is Wednesday.
Okay. We got WTF Wednesday this morning after 8, guys.
We just lost Simone as a listener.
Taylor's here. Taylor, what's your grammar Nazi ick?
I hate when people use the word Pacific instead of specific.
Oh, what if they say Pacifically?
Could you be more specific about that?
You're like, Pacifically, no.
It's on the list. Dave's here. Dave, when it comes to grammar, what gives you the ick?
My granddaughter, can you, she says, can you tooken me to the shops?
Tooken me.
Instead of taking. Tooken me.
How old
her
is
grammar,
she?
Her grammar's terrible. She's 13.
Oh,
she comes from out west. And she does it all day, 10 times a day. Grandma, grandma, grandma.
She gone to the shops 10 times a day.
Yeah. It's just how they are out west, Langers. Lots of visits to the shops, asking with the wrong grammar. Barbara's here. We're going to end on you, Barbara. What gives you the ick when it comes to grammar?
Okay, mine is when people say, I've seen it, without saying I have seen it. I've seen someone go to the shop, or I've seen someone do such and such.
I don't know.
Is it bad that I... Isn't that right? I'm pretty sure
I think you're being pedantic there or something.
Oh, don't!
Barbara?
Can you beat Bronte? Champions League, only on Hit.
Another day, another champion taking on our carryover champ, who is Tom, here for day 3. Even more updated stats for his little promo package.
Yeah, let's before we bring him in,
yeah,
let's reintroduce what I'm calling now the Tomcat.
In the left corner, he's back for the third day after beating out two other champions. But can he make it all the way? He beat Bronte by 1 point back in February on her birthday. And she's still salty about it. Please welcome Tom.
He doesn't lie. I am still salty. How are you, Tom?
Oh, look, I'm not too bad this morning. How are you guys?
Good. You sound a little bit more peppy.
Yes.
You're quite groggy when we got you on yesterday. You'd just woken up.
Yeah, the alarm went off this morning. It's good.
Good.
Okay, good.
$500 on the line at the end of this week, a possible 1,000 if you beat Bronte at the end of next week. Your competitor today, let's get to know David, everyone.
In the right corner, David won on the benefit of the doubt while hiding from his boss at work. He plays a lot of board games and trivia at home and is confident he can take out the whole competition. Please welcome David!
Look, you know...
Hey.
Oh, my God.
Let him make his intro.
Sorry, you go, David.
How are you going?
Look, you know how I feel about champions that are here based on benefit of the doubt. You don't have my ultimate respect, but that could all change today.
If he brings down the Tomcat,
yep, you've earned it.
You never know. Guys, let's have a crack. It's Can You Beat Bronte Champions League. Dave, you hold there. You're going into the soundproof booth this morning, brother. So David can't hear what's going on, and carryover champ Tom... 30 seconds on the clock, mate. Good luck. Your time starts now. What Disney Channel show stars Miley Cyrus as a pop star?
Hannah Montana.
What Australian city is the most populated?
Melbourne.
What is Harry Houdini famous for?
Magic.
Sodium chloride is more commonly known as what?
Table salt.
What name is given to animals that only eat plants?
Herbivore.
No passes.
No passes.
Five answers.
There we go. In 30 seconds. Easy.
Very good. Let's get David out of the soundproof booth. David.
Ooh.
You're primed. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. How'd it go?
Not going to say.
Tell you. Don't be cheeky, David. You focus. Come on.
30 seconds on the clock. Good luck, David. Your time starts now. What Disney Channel show stars Miley Cyrus as a pop star?
Hannah Montana.
What Australian city is the most populated?
Sydney.
Harry Houdini is famous for what?
Being a magician.
Sodium chloride is more commonly known as what?
Salt.
What name is given to animals who only eat plants?
Herbivores.
That's five. Whoa. And again, five answers, Langus.
Over to me.
Over to you. Judge
to be judged. Number one, very proud of you both. What Disney Channel show stars Miley Cyrus as a pop star? Of course, Hannah Montana. You both got that. I'll come back to question number two. Question number three, what is Harry Houdini famous for? Tom said magic. David said being a magician. We'll take both answers. It is magic. Sodium chloride, most commonly known as what? Salt. Both of you got that correct. What name is given to animals who only eat plants? The answer is herbivore, which you both got. So
you don't make friends with salad, Bronte.
No, you don't. And you do make friends, I guess, when you're bonded at the fact you're both on 4 out of 4 at the moment. Ooh, comes down to...
Good luck, David.
What Australian city is the most populated? They're so kind. Tom, you said Melbourne. David, you said Sydney. The correct answer is Sydney, which means we have a new carryover trip! David, you're taking down the Tomcat.
The Tomcat.
Oh, I woke up feeling like a winner today.
The Tomcat has been put down. He's been put to sleep. Tom, how you feeling, brother? You're out.
Yeah, not too bad. I didn't want that nickname to carry on.
Okay,
though,
sure.
Yeah, right, it was all about the nickname. David, a new carryover champ. If you win again tomorrow and Friday, you take on Bronte all next week and a potential $1,000 in your back pocket, mate.
Yeah. Bronte drew with me, so she's not a real winner anyway.
Oh!
So I'm not worried.
David, I am going to destroy you.
Oh, the Brontosaurus is mad.
She's mellow at the moment. Yeah. She's hibernating. She's coming out.
She's not a herbivore, and she will eat you alive. Tom, it's been real. Thanks for having a great last 3 days with us. But David, our carryover champ for Can You Beat Bronte Champions Week from tomorrow. Well done.
Thank you.
So yesterday, for the first time in, and basically the entire time I've been here, I decided to do something pretty momentous, and that is bring breakfast to work.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
What a win.
Container.
It's the first time in the history of our show you were eating during the show.
I know.
I support it.
Thank you. Well, I'm just trying to reframe my mind around breakfast, and like I know it's good for me. I think it's steeped in a lot of like past trauma of like not thinking I should eat breakfast, but you definitely should. And so like my partner Dylan has been really instrumental in that, and he works here with us. And so I said, "Well,
how is that, by the way?" That's the chat for another day.
Get into that. And so, because I come to work before him, I made us both breakfast and brought it into work. And yesterday during the show, I had already eaten mine. His was still in the staff fridge. And so I get a text from him and he's like, "The food's not there. Has someone eaten it?" Mm. And I was like, "No, it's definitely there." And then we were finishing off the show. I was like, "We'll come out after the show and I'll show you." And before he got back to the kitchen, I opened the fridge, could see clearly where the Tupperware was.
Mm.
And I saw him come back into the kitchen, quickly shut the fridge. And
he was still like, "It's not here."
He's like, "It's not here. It's not here." He was having a boy look. And so I got out my phone, started recording, and I've got him trying to find it and you trying to find it.
Well, I walked past, and by the time I walked past, he had it, and he just wanted to tell the story. Then he's like, "No, actually, you know what? I'll put it back to where it was, and we'll see if you can find it." So all of a sudden, it became a game.
It's a game. So this is two boys having a quintessential boy look. I said an onion
middle
Tupperware.
Fridge,
yep.
Onion Tupperware.
You like, can't.
That's watermelon Tupperware.
Have you moved anything?
No.
Have you moved anything? You can find it. You're having a boy look.
That's
not it. No, is that an onion? You just might have to move one thing.
Why the fuck?
What Dylan couldn't find.
Can you find what Dylan couldn't find?
So I'm going to have a woman
he
look.
He just had a boy look.
All right. Saw the container.
Yeah.
It's not in this fridge.
Yeah. Don't be stupid. Like, you're just being silly.
Without ripping out other people's lunches. It's not in this fridge.
Are you doing a bit? Yeah. Might need to move one thing. Move the butter.
Who would put it?
I didn't put it there.
I'm with Dylan. That's who would put it there? The look on Dylan's face was just like sweet redemption.
Yeah. Until two intelligent, sophisticated, investigative women came past. Producer Alicia.
If you're going to say the word investigative, you really want to just run it through your head a couple of times first.
Producer Alicia and promo Beck. So the issue with you two boys was you just had to move a butter container to the right and the Tupperware was there. So I wanted to see if the girls had the foresight to do that one thing and have a girl look. Have a listen. Cliffo and Dylan couldn't find it because they had boy looks, and I think you can find it.
Oh, is that?
Oh, thank God. Can you please find the onion Tupperware container?
Yes. Is that what you're looking for?
That quick.
Not edited at all.
Wow.
That's how quickly the girls found it.
All I can say is, like, going forward, everyone, if Bronte ever asks if she can bring you breakfast or whatever, just know it's going to come with a side of puzzle and maze and
quizzes.
Cryptic trying to work it out. Alpha Bucks is playing tomorrow, Thursday the 11th of May after 8 a.m. And podcasters, you get a leg up.
Well, can we just say, got very close today to giving away another $1,000. We got through all 10 questions, but just missed out on
two wrongs,
yes.
I thought. Yeah.
Two wrongs. But for tomorrow.
Two wrongs don't make a right. We know that.
Don't make $1,000. If you do want $1,000 and you want the clue for tomorrow, I've never played this game. Scrabble is your clue.
Nah, not my kind of cup of tea either, Scrabble.
I just haven't played it. I've never...
Too much education.
Yeah, right? We're not about
I'm more
that.
Of a mousetrap kind of guy.
I'm a Cluedo gal.
Scrabble. So S your letter, Scrabble, your free answer for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on Hits.
My partner Dylan, he's a big money guy. Like, he likes finance and things. He's like, do you want to come over and watch the budget? And I said, no, I don't.
The only thing more boring than the coronation on TV this week.
What a week.
Like, legitimately, I sat down for the coronation. And God, I was so bored. And I thought, I will never outbore myself. And I tried to make sense of the budget last night. And I've done it.
Well done.
We have an expert on the show later on. Scott Phillips from the Motley Fool podcast on Listener is going to break it down. But every year I do have a look at the budget and I try and think of the typical Hits listener because there's a lot of demographics in this country, a lot of different types of people. And I try and think of, you know, the average person who would listen to our radio station and try and break down how it would affect them.
And what that'll we care about.
Yeah, that would be most relevant.
Definitely.
Essentially, like my takeouts of this year's budget, and look, I'm no finance expert at all, but I've watched it last night. Like, I've read all the articles this morning and my takeaway, it's a real tight-ass budget.
Right.
Designed to get Australia into surplus for the first time in 15 years. So essentially, if we were a country, if our country was a business, we'd probably be bankrupt by now.
Right. Yeah,
we haven't made money in a long time.
That's not good.
It's not good. But for the first time in, 15 years, and for the first time, like, since I think the 80s with a Labor federal government, since Paul Keating was Prime Minister, the Labor government's going to have about $3 or $4 billion left over if all goes to plan.
Okay.
And they've done it by cutting costs. So essentially this year's federal budget is a bit like your mum back in the day switching out the rib fillet steaks and just making curried sausages on repeat for
which
12 months.
People are currently having to do anyway due to the cost of living.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic really, isn't it? So to get that surplus, they're essentially just not going to spend as much money for the next year. So instead of being this splashy budget that buys a lot of popularity, like, it's going to affect a lot less people with a lot less. But some of the takeaways, nearly $15 billion will go to a $500 energy rebate for about 5.5 million houses and 1 million businesses. That's a big cost of living pressure there.
Huge.
Energy. About $5 billion boost to childcare to get about 1 million Aussies back to work sooner, particularly single parents.
Okay.
And this one, I just thought interesting to throw out there. If you're on the darts, if you're a smoker, smokes are going to be more expensive again.
Again.
Tobacco tax will go up 5% every year for the next 3 years. So we're looking at a 15% increase in the tax on smokes within 3 years. But, yeah, 5% every year.
So essentially you'll be paying 5% more on on what you're already paying for. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be smoking, but it's a good incentive to stop because, my goodness, by the end you'll be paying millions, essentially.
I feel like smokers soon are just going to be at the point where they just walk into the tobacconist and hand them their wallet.
Yeah, right.
Their car keys and their two children. And they're like,
deed to the house.
Give me a pack of 50s, please.
Yesterday on the show, you talked about your lovely little boy, Charlie, doing some behaviour that maybe wasn't so lovely.
I was using a very different word. Yeah. I wasn't using the word lovely to describe him yesterday.
Because he took something that is cherished in the Clifton household and hid it from you guys. He took a packet of Cheezels, which, if you know, on this show, yeah, those go quickly in your house.
We have fought over Cheezels before.
And he hid them in the pool filter, like the box that for some reason when you're a kid feels like just anything can go in there and it'll disappear.
It's a bit like a dog burying a bone and coming back to it later. He's like, I'll put the Cheezels in there. We'll come back later. Little did he know that they actually expand to about twice the size and become these gross orange floaties.
That dad has to deal with, that you have to deal with to get out of the pool. And I actually got a call from my mum after the show. She had been listening and heard that and heard us talking about kids hiding food. And she goes, well, you remember what you used to do when you were young? And I was like, no, I don't actually.
Sit there.
Name one thing.
Look beautiful and.
No. And this, because I think on this show I've talked previously about how I hate mashed potatoes. We used to get them for every single dinner. It would always be like mashed potatoes and meat in some way. And Mum said that I used to stuff my mashed potatoes into the VCR machine when she wasn't working. I just tried to hide them.
Next time you put the Richie Rich video cassette in, you're like,
what's this not working?
Why are worms coming
what's
out
going,
of it?
Why is the picture a white mashy?
I just think I thought similar to the pool box, the VCR is where magic things go that, you know, something happens and all of a sudden you're watching TV. So I just went, okay, well, I'm going to put my mashed potatoes in there. So 131060, what did you hide as a kid? What did you used to hide? Maybe it was food, like Cheezels or mashed potato.
Yeah.
And where would you hide it?
Maybe it's a more recent one and your kids did the hiding and you were the seeker.
Yeah,
playing hide and seek, like me, with the Cheezels in the filter box, mate.
And my sister, because this was, we talked about it more on the family group chat, and she's like, oh, yeah, I used to hide my sausages somewhere because Chloe hated sausages.
Yeah.
And Mum's like, where? Because she's never found them.
Yeah,
so there's
some
decades-old sausages somewhere in the Langbrook house.
There was that story that did the rounds on TikTok just 3 or 4 weeks ago of the woman who must have been smoking in her bathroom and would get the cigarette butts and put them in, like, the frame around the shower.
Yep, correct.
And all this new owner of the house or whatever, and all this yucky, gross water was, like, leaking out in the shower. They do some investigation. They found that this whole, like, shower frame had been used as an ashtray.
That was what I thought. I thought that must have been someone who was smoking who didn't want someone to know in the house, and that's where they hid their cigarettes. So
lots of mashed potato was in there. As well.
I don't want to talk about it. Was it on the Gold Coast?
There was cigarettes in the VHR as well. It's real weird at the Langbrook house.
What did you hide when you were a kid? That's what we want to know. And ideally, where did you hide it?
And what, if you've got one as well, what has your kid hidden and you've had the unfortunate luck of finding it?
Terrible.
131060, give us a call. Sarah first up. Sarah, what did you used to hide as a kid?
Not me, but my oldest daughter, when she was little, used to hide her Vegemite sandwiches in the VCR.
Another one.
The VCR. Something
VCR
about it.
Place to hide.
God. VCR repairers in the day would have been stoked with all these kids throwing mashed potato and sandwiches into the VCR.
That's so true.
Xavier's next. Xavier, what did you hide as a kid?
I put mum's car keys so that way she didn't have to take me to school.
Oh, that's brilliant.
What did you say? The keys, did you say? You'd hide the keys?
Yeah, I hid her keys so she didn't have to take me to school.
Oh, my. Could you imagine mom, like, late for work,
yes.
School drop
yeah.
off? Like, how
she was
much?
A bit angry.
Yeah, I bet.
Just no regrets. How many times did you do it, do you reckon?
Probably like 7.
How old are you now, Xavier?
I'm 13 in high school.
Yeah, do it tomorrow. Let us know how it goes.
We'll never hear from him again.
Give us an update. Georgia, what did you hide as a kid?
My boogies under the couch.
Oh.
I mean, we've all done that, haven't we? We still do that, don't we? No? Just me?
I don't know, but I don't, typically don't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, neither.
Yeah, I try and back you up as your co-host all the time. Like, I try and be there for you, supportive co-host, back you up.
I don't.
I'll pick and flick. Never
I don't.
Been. I mean, people laugh at me for carrying a hanky, guys, but sometimes it pays off. Kelly, what did you hide as a kid?
It wasn't me. It was my son. Mm. Quite a few years ago, I used to cut up half a banana for him in his lunchbox. And I thought he was eating them because they never came home. Mm. And we were cleaning out his cupboard one day and he'd been shoving them into the toes of his shoes.
The toes of the shoes?
Yeah, we found a whole heap of shoes that he didn't wear anymore with bananas shoved in his toes.
Oh, it would have been better if they were shoes he still wore.
Crocs?
Yeah, like spaghetti, banana spaghetti out the holes.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.